This is a Defocus Media production. Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the ODs on Facebook podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Faiz Mahjoub, and on today's episode, we're discussing private equity in eye care. Joining us on this episode is Ms. Anne Cavanaugh. Anne is a managing member at Cavanaugh Consulting LLC, which is an independent consulting and advisory company based in New York City. She specializes in merger and acquisition advice, business development, and strategic planning for healthcare and optical companies. Anne attended the Boston College School of Management, where she obtained her Bachelor of Science degree in finance and marketing, graduating with magna cum laude honors. Thank you so much for joining us today, Anne. Can you start by sharing with our listeners a little bit about your journey in the eye care field?
Yeah, so I've been in the eye care space for over 20 years. My background is investment banking. So I was head of healthcare investment banking at Salomon Brothers, Prudential, Payne Webber. I also founded the investment banking group for NatWest Securities and was their CEO. And so the vision care space was always an area that I covered, both from laser vision correction to retail optical, along with some of the other sectors of healthcare. I've done about $50 billion of deals in my career. And most recently, we've focused just on the vision care space, myself and my partners. So for the last 2000, we've been, solely focused on the vision care space.
I, for one, will admit that I'm not very versed as far as the private equity and corporate side of the industry. So that's one of the reasons that I think it'll be really great to explore this topic here. And to start us off, do you mind just kind of giving a general explanation of what private equity is?
Sure. So private equity is a asset class. So institutional investors and accredited investors can invest in private equity firms. So just like they can invest in money managers. The difference is it's illiquid. So private equity, when you commit to a private equity firm, and I have been a private equity master limited partner, you are, until the fund is liquidated, you are a member. So it's not like if you have your money in a money market or in the market with a money manager, you can buy and sell as you please. When you're with private equity, you make a commitment and your liquidity event is when their liquidity event is, which is typically between 3 and 5 years out.
I see. So it's a way for either corporations or individuals to pretty much come together and pool their money to essentially buy an asset with a commitment that you can't get your money back until essentially the agreed upon term of essentially selling that asset in the future. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, that is correct. So they're investing in private companies and the intent is that they're going to hold it and build it for 3 to 5 years.
And is this something that is essentially prevalent across all industries, or is it something that's kind of specific to healthcare?
No, it's across all industries. So you do have different PE firms with different expertise. And so the people that we're talking about in the eye care space tend to be the healthcare private equity teams at the different firms.
I see. And then are these folks specifically just focus on eye care only, or do they typically work in a couple of different healthcare professions at the same time?
So typically healthcare professions, multiple.
I see. And can you give us maybe a recap of the history of the activity of private equity within eye care?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the first firms to make the foray into eye care was Berkshire Partners out of Boston. And they did a very unique thing. They bought National Vision, so they acquired it in a going private transaction. So National Vision was actually public. They bought it in a going private transaction, and they acquired America's Best concurrently with National Vision. And from there, they grew it organically, with the exception in 2009, they acquired Eyeglass World. And then in your typical sort of fashion, they built it, and then they sold it in 2014 to KKR, which is one of the largest, one of the first PE firms that has existed. And they built it, and then they brought it public in 2017. So National Vision, which in 2005 was public, made full circle. So it was public, it went private with Berkshire, and then they sold to KKR, who then built it out and went brought it public again. So that was probably one of the most successful PE investments in the space, with rumored to be a 10 times return on capital.
And with a acquisition like that, what would be the motivation for, say, a firm to take a company that's already a public company, turn it into a private company? What advantages do they get by doing that before taking them public again and then essentially taking the return on their investment?
So when they took them private in 2005, so National Vision had all the licenses for the Walmart Optical. So that's all it was. So what they did was they transformed the company. They brought it private. They acquired America's Best, and they organically grew like the largest value optical retailer, mostly with de novo startups under Reid Foss's leadership, the CEO. So they literally transformed the company by, you know, taking it private and then founding a new identity for the company and diversifying the revenue.
So as a private company, they had more control over what to do with the actual company and the direction that they want to take it, as opposed to if it was a public company, you have shareholders that essentially have certain expectations of things being done a certain way. Is that right?
That is correct.
Got it. And what other players would you say are prominent in the private equity space as it pertains to eye care?
Yeah, so you've got My Eye Doctor, which was originally backed by Monitor Clipper. So they acquired it in 2012. They grew it. They sold it to Altus Capital in 2014. And then Altus recently sold it to Goldman Sachs. So there you see a series of PE players within one consolidator. So My Eye Doctors had three different PE ownerships, and they all take it to a different stage. They continue to grow it.
I guess the two things that stood out to me here is that with National Vision, it seemed that from my understanding of the companies that they have a lot of essentially corporate locations. But from what I know about My Eye Doctor is that they've actually also acquired what used to be private optometry practices. Has that been a distinction between those two groups, or have they kind of mixed and matched and dipped in both pools?
No, that's the distinction. So My Eye Doctor is definitely the consolidation of independent ODs. And they were the first one to do that in the space. And then Eye Care Partners followed them. And that was backed by FFL, Chris Harris out of San Francisco. And they just recently sold to Partners Group out of Switzerland. And so FFL grew it from 2015, and they sold it to Partners Group in January 2020. And then you have Acuity and Kepler. Acuity is backed by Reata Capital, and Kepler is backed by Imperial Capital. And they also are consolidated in the independent OD space.
I've heard a lot about private equity in kind of more recent years. It seems as if there's been an uptick in activity. Does that seem to be the case?
Yes, there's been a lot of uptick in the activity because of the success, right? The practice management space, the different healthcare sectors, dental, dermatology, physical therapy, urgent care, have all been extremely successful, which led to an interest in the vision care space because, again, similar to those other healthcare sectors, the vision care space is highly fragmented. And there's significant opportunity for what I like to call synergies, which is savings from cost of goods when you're can consolidate frames, lenses, contact lenses, labs, back office, billing. And you combine that with, don't forget, the aging of the demographic and the increased demand for services in the vision care space.
It sounds like what is going on here is that they are actually following the demographic trends and seeing kind of the future increase in demand for eye care and seeing that it's a necessary healthcare service, and that by grouping these companies together, they can drive the costs down and then from there generate enough value to where by the time that they sell the company that those optimizations and synergies from vertical integration that they put together nets them the profit that they're looking for. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
And so it seems that at least for the short term that these companies would be focused on making the delivery of services and also eyewear and contacts something that is really efficient and driving the cost down. Also at the same time, add talent that is going to help their revenue increase to where they can get a higher valuation when they're selling. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. So all of them are looking to get a national footprint because things that drive valuation, right, is the bigger the company, the higher the EBITDA, the track record. So the more they can show consistent growth and consistent profitability, the higher the valuation on exit.
From your perspective, what does the presence of private equity and the growth of private equity activity in the industry mean for the future of optometry from the perspective of private practice?
So I think it's going to follow the path that dentists has come, is there's going to be more and more consolidation, and ODs are going to have a choice. So to me, the biggest thing is you as an OD have a choice. If you want to monetize your practice with a private equity firm, if you want to remain independent, if you want to take on an OD partner. So to me, what private equity does, it allows you to have choice in terms of how you want to, grow your company and what your exit strategy is.
As far as the exit strategy piece, I have heard a little bit about that, where ODs who are looking to sell their practice typically will consider, among the options out there, private equity, as a way to essentially keep the employees and the practice together, but get what the practice is worth if they're not able to find that in the typical market. How much of the acquisitions or transitions of practice are happening from OD to OD versus OD to private equity? Can you give us a sense of that?
I would say at least 90% it's OD to private equity. And the reason is very simple. Private equity is extremely well capitalized, trillions of dollars of capital. Whereas OD to OD, you're requiring an associate OD to go to the bank to get to lend against, their credit to buy the OD out. So the capital available with private equity is significant, and the purchase price differential is also significant. So the majority of the sales are to private equity.
So when it comes to private equity, is there a partnership relationship that's possible there, or is it essentially an OD selling a practice to the company, or the OD being an employee within the private equity organization?
So MyEyeDoctor, EyeCare Partners, Kepler, and Acuity all offer a partnership opportunity in terms of stock. So every one of the ODs have a choice if they want to be a shareholder, or if they want to just accept a cash purchase.
I see. And are those ODs typically transitioning out of their career, or do they sometimes stay on and work in the practice as a shareholder of the overall organization?
Yes. So all of them stay on. So that's one of the things is that is a misunderstanding. A seller OD, the private equity firm, the assets they're buying are really the brand, the OD, his reputation, and his colleagues, right? If it's a multiple location, multiple ODs. So they're looking for the seller OD and the associate ODs to sign employment contracts and to be part of the partnership going forward. Almost all of them would like the seller OD to be a shareholder because they want to have some skin in the game and have them have the upside opportunity that they have as a private equity firm.
That makes sense. And so then the termination of that, would that be essentially when the private equity firm sells its assets to maybe another private equity firm, or by taking it public?
So both. And even like with MyEyeDoctor and EyeCare Partners, so MyEyeDoctor sold multiple times. A number of my clients took shares in MyEyeDoctor, and they were all offered the opportunity to roll some of the shares into the new Goldman Sachs venture. And the same with EyeCare Partners. They're offered the chance to roll with Partners Group. So people can either take their chips off the table, or they can, they're typically asked if they want to roll a little bit into the new buyer.
And how do you feel like this ecosystem of private equity interacts with, say, the private practitioners who are just in private practice? Do you see it as a competitive relationship, or how do you view that?
So, I think to me, if independent OD now has a choice, right, they can remain independent, or they can join one of the top players, or, VSP is now out there buying as well. Regal is another private equity firm in the marketplace. So clearly they're competing, right? But it's also their exit strategy.
So it seems that the lines are kind of blurring between what's a strictly independent versus strictly corporate, and that there is these different levels of partnership, even with buying groups and things like that, that I also hear about that the ecosystem is becoming a little bit more integrated than before.
That's correct. Yes.
And, one thing that I'm also curious about is how the recent developments with COVID-19 have actually impacted the private equity space and how active it is right now.
So, I grew up on Wall Street and I grew up on the capital market side. So you have a lot of activity, and then you can have events like the 1987 market crash, right? and you have the subprime crash that happened in 2008. You had 9/11, which had an impact. The COVID has been a very different sort of impact because it essentially has stopped all industries. And so all of the consolidators and financial sponsors, I would say, are in pause mode for the moment. Okay, so we have deals with every one of the consolidators, and they're just waiting for the COVID-19 crisis to be over before they resume their acquisitions, because their number one focus right now is to maintain the liquidity in their current companies, because for the most part, all of them have had to shut their clinics or their stores. So I think National Vision, you know, announced that all of their stores are currently closed. My Eye Doctor announced the same, Envision Monday, and a number of the other consolidators have followed suit in terms of open for emergency eye care only.
Are there any negative side effects to being so tightly linked to Wall Street in that way?
Well, all M&A is linked in Wall Street in that way, so I don't think this is any different. It's just healthcare, if anything, is more defensive. So if you're a mezzanine lender, right, and so you're providing debt to private equity, the healthcare sector tends to be the most defensive because you need eye care services regardless. However, if you're in retail or restaurant, those are more whimsical, right? They're nice to have to be able to go out and buy new clothing, new bag, to go out to eat. Whereas you have to get eyeglasses. I can't read without my eyeglasses. Glaucoma runs in my family, so I have to go for my annual exam. So healthcare tends to be defensive. So in a market hiccup like this, I believe this sector will recover sooner versus other sectors.
That makes a lot of sense, because it seems that it'd be safer to park your investment dollars in a place where it's a necessary service as opposed to something that is reliant on discretionary spending, especially when the economy is not in a great situation.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think everybody's being affected right now by the COVID. I don't think any industry is exempt from it, but I think that the healthcare sector will come back quickest from it.
That's great to know. And for any of our listeners who are interested in learning more about this by keeping up with you, are there any social media handles or any way that they can reach out to you to ask any questions?
They can either call me at 917-902-4510, or my Gmail is consultcav@gmail.com. We literally get all of our clients from recommendations of other clients, so we don't have a website. So by email or phone works.
Excellent. And as far as your clients, are some of these independent ODs who are considering working with private equity, or do you mostly consult for the private equity companies only?
No. So we're sell side only. So we only work for our clients. As I said, I was 20 years on Wall Street, and you represent the seller. You never represent both sides. There are other consultants in the space that represent both sides, and that's a conflict in our view. So for instance, we've represented Dr. Ben Gatti, Dr. Alan Glazier, Dr. Brendan Braker. We only represented them. And we go out to all of the buyers because our job is to give our clients choices. They decide who they want to partner with. We just bring them the choices. But we don't represent any private equity firms. We don't have any stock ownership. And that's the way we think we should represent people.
Well, excellent. Thank you so much for your time today. And I, for one, have learned a lot about this part of the industry that was kind of a question mark for me. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners who are kind of new to this as well definitely appreciated all the insights that you shared with us. And we'll be posting the contact information that you shared here along with the podcast if they want to reach out to you and learn a little bit more as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
That's a wrap for this episode, but it's only the beginning of the conversation. Please share your thoughts with us in the comment section on odsonfacebook.com as well as in the ODs on Facebook group. If you have questions for our guests that you feel the whole community would benefit from learning the answers to, then please share those in the comments as well. Our guests will be jumping in the comments to continue the discussion with the community. And if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher by searching for ODs on Facebook podcast. Thanks everyone, and we'll catch you on the next episode.